That was a really funny transition for those who are listening to us live. It was a very funny transition from music to our show. But welcome. So excited for you all to be joining us for the Aging Well Together show. We have such a good show today. Today is part two of our month-long series for Fall Prevention Awareness Month. I'm so excited to have our returning expert, Marie Dagger. This is your fourth time, Marie.
It is the fourth.
I know, it's your fourth. Wait, here, let me get your mic up already.
It is officially the fourth. I know it's been several times now.
Well, we'll have to do like they do on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, I am prepared. We're not telling Marie. I will tell you when she's not here. I went through the count. So there's a few of you that are about to hit. LaTanya's about to hit her fourth at the end of the month. Mm-hmm. And yes, we are going to have a five time numbers present. I'll tell you what it is, Alicia. I am all prepared for it.
So, well, I'll put the balloons away. I was going to do
that. But so we have Marie Dagger here. She is the fabulous occupational therapist with the Orange County Department on Aging. She is back with us. Today we're going to talk about all about falls prevention, home safety, durable medical equipment. We're really kind of going to get all into it. Last week's show, if you didn't listen live, I'll tell you more about how you can get it. Listen to the podcast on the website. But that was our kickoff to Fall Prevention Awareness Month, and then we have shows also for the two more September Thursdays. And Marie, I was having fun last night. I looked, so today, and I hate when people are listening to this another time because they're like, no, it's not. All right, for anyone listening to us live, today is September 12th, 2024, and you came on September 21st, 2023. So I was just having fun.
Of course I did. Wow. Of course I did.
And that was officially Fall Prevention Week.
Oh, right.
Because we learned last week, right? Because the first day of fall is what, the 21st, 22nd?
I think that's one of those days that bounces just a little bit. Yeah.
So you kicked us off last week, last year when we did it for a week, but this year we're doing it all month.
So much to talk about.
We have so much to talk about, and I was saying I'll share a little bit. I had my own fall-related excitement this week, so I am really, really excited for all we're going to learn together. As always, before we dive into our show, I want to give a shout-out to WCOMLP Chapel Hill Carborough on 103.5 FM for hosting our weekly Aging Well Together show. And the Aging Well Together show is brought to you by Marie's fabulous, fabulous colleagues over at the Orange County Department on Aging. Each week, please join us as we interview special guests to share information, resources, insights, and stories about the opportunities for aging well together. You can catch us live every Thursday from 2 to 3 or stream us live through WCOMFM.org or random streaming services. Or you can listen to any of our previous shows, aka our podcast. This is show number 55.
Wow, congrats.
You know what we should do, I realize? Let's make Marilyn Hole do more for us. On the website.
More.
She does so much for us. It just has the name of the show, like this will be Falls Prevention, or we'll give it a different, you know, with Marie Dagger. But we don't put the number. I am wondering if maybe we should put the number, so because I refer to a lot of other shows, so I can be like, go back to show six, to show.
That would be a good idea.
All right. So sorry, Marilyn, if you're listening, we're going to give you a little
even
bit.
Even if we
want
to start 55 and going forward, how about that?
We're in our own 55 plus community here at Aging Well Together. So, folks, we have lots of podcasts, we could just call them recordings, but podcast seems fun. Radio show. Super, super fun podcast. You know, everyone has podcasts. But we have our podcast. You can get it through the Orange County Department on Aging's website, which is www.orangecountync.gov/aging. And on the website, you can find links to our Aging Well Together radio show, as well as a host of other helpful resources about services in Orange County, North Carolina. And if you have a question about any of the resources we discuss on the shows, or if you want to suggest a topic for an upcoming show, you can either call the Department on Aging, and this is where I give a number. It is 919-968-2070. I'm looking at Marie. I give the main line, not the aging helpline.
I won't have a panic this time.
Yes, don't panic. You're like, that. Why that number? Because we do the main number. And then you also can feel free to email me at my big, long email address, but it makes sense. Mm-hmm. theagingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. Actually, I didn't mean to say the. It's one long word, agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. And many thanks for folks. I just got another email 2 days ago, someone who had listened to our show and said, I'd like to come on your show. Oh, and wow. It's kind of related to this topic. So it was after our guest last week shared it with a colleague and they were like, I want to come on. So yeah, folks, feel free to reach out. We're pretty nice here and that's crazy. Right. Would love to have you on the show, and a shout out as always. You heard just a few moments of music of the wonderful Carrboro bass band, the Robert Bradford Quartet. We're so appreciative they let us use their original song Mayfly for our opening music and our closing music, and you'll hear it a lot more at the end. And as always, my wonderful co-host Alicia Reed, one of the phenomenal, motivating... My Ed McMahon is here, and when she's not here, she's one of the fabulously engaging wellness instructors with the Orange County Department on Aging. She also is volunteer extraordinaire with all kinds of great things, ombudsman. Are you a ship counselor, too? You do everything.
No, I better not be a ship. Oh, my God.
Are you the senior health insurance folks? No, but you've been signing up for so many things. Anyway, Alicia's here. Hi, Alicia.
Hey. Hi, Alicia.
And, folks, you know me. I'm your host, Heather Altman. I've spent over 25 years working in aging services. I continue to work with older adults and their families, connect with supportive resources in our community. I'm also a caregiver for older family members. I'll make a quick comment about that. And at 53, I'm focusing on my own changing needs. So I am super invested in how we are all aging well together. And the irony of all ironies. Our show last week, kicking off fall prevention awareness. Everyone needs to be careful, try to prevent falls, all kinds of things. We'll continue that conversation today. And wouldn't you know, 2 hours after our show, a family member of mine fell. And I got first the text and then the email. And I was like, and I literally said, no, it's Fall Prevention Awareness Month. We just discussed this on the radio show. What are you doing? So I had to drive and go rescue a family member from a different state. As I say, a broken rib and a bruised ego. It could have been a lot worse. So I'm happy it was not. But I have been living the fall injury
living the
world.
Fall. Living the fall.
I am living the life and living the falls. And this is so a
we
topic.
Have lots of questions.
I've got I have to deal with my own issue. I've got lots of opinions and venting and all that processing. I was like, I don't need therapy. I'll just process with my good friends and colleagues that are here.
But that's right.
So let me actually turn that microphone over to my wonderful colleague and friend, Marie Dagger, back with us, fourth time. She is with the Aging Transitions Department. She's their occupational therapist for the Orange County Department on Aging. You have all kinds of other fun certifications, but really, welcome back, Marie.
Thank you. It's good to be here again.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. And so we have a lot to get into. Before we do that, I'm not going to make you retell your whole life story, as you've done that a few times before, but could you just give a quick reminder to our listeners, what is an occupational therapist and what do you do for Orange County so folks get reminded of your fabulousness?
Yeah, so in general, occupational therapist, we are, professionals who help folks to... Put me on the spot for my elevator speech here. Who help folks to, find ways to, engage in those occupations, those activities that are meaningful and important and necessary in their day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. And those, activities, those occupations might be challenging for a host of different kinds of reasons. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about older adults specifically, it's usually because our bodies are doing things that we don't necessarily expect them to. We have changes that we haven't necessarily planned for. Maybe we have planned for, but they're going, maybe things are just harder than they used to be in some way, shape, or form. And so my role specifically at the Department on Aging is to help find that, that middle ground of how folks can do, again, those important and meaningful tasks by, looking at, the person, what's going on with their body and their needs, the activity they're trying to engage in. How can we switch up how that activity is, how it's looking, what it how it moves forward and the environment in which that activity happens in. So that kind of meeting point of the person, the environment, and the occupation itself.
I love that. And I love your approach and a lot of the occupational therapists that I know come out of UNC and other training programs. But sometimes people have a very limited view of occupational therapy. They think, okay, well, someone had hip surgery or knee replacement, and so we're going to help, you know, basic, as we call, activities of daily living. Mm-hmm. All right, let's help you get dressed easier. Let's help you use the bathroom mm-hmm. easier. And some folks can just stop there. Right. But I love your approach of what are the meaningful activities we want to help people get mm-hmm. back to, and maybe with the modifications summarizing.
Yeah, and I mean that, you know, in the like acute care setting, when somebody is really focusing on, I had hip surgery, how can I put on my socks? That is, in that moment, so meaningful and mm-hmm. so important.
Yes.
And also, OT can also do so many more things too.
So just depends on the setting. Many more. When I first learned about it, it was 2003, and I was so glad that I got schooled over. I mean, I didn't take the courses, but they taught me about what a good OT looks like and the fullness of looking at the person and their goals and mm-hmm. what gives, and then their environment, and then how to support it. So mm-hmm. I don't want to play favorites, but some of my most favorite people are OTs because I just love your approach. And you
OTs
are one
are
of
awesome.
Them. Awesome. So. All right. So you told us a little bit about Orange County and what you do for it. So it is Fall Prevention Awareness Month and week and day, all those things. We'll get into all the details, but what excites you about this time of year, besides the fact that it's getting cooler outside, which makes me very happy?
Yes,
but
not
what
being 110 degrees is fantastic.
Yes, what excites you about the fall and Fall Prevention Month?
I think just the opportunity to, you know, talk about falls as being, you know, they are so common, but they don't have to be normal. They don't have to be an expected part of daily living.
Yes, please say it, my friend.
Last week they mentioned falls are preventable, and
absolutely
stuck with me all week.
And there was a question I was going to ask last week, and we didn't have time, so I'm going to ask Maria, and mm-hmm. it's about this topic. And what is interesting about falls are preventable, and one of the stats that they gave is that, I think if I'm saying right, falls were the number one reason, because
right.
Anna was from UNC,
one in four,
trauma,
said, right.
UNC Health, their trauma, and the number one reason people were coming to the ER, the number one reason older adults were coming to the ER were falls. Mm-hmm. And again, the irony, because 3 hours
later,
absolutely. Yeah, 2-3 hours, my family member was in the ER for a fall. So, but this issue of preventable, because
right.
years
okay.
ago, mm-hmm. there was this issue of, can you really prevent falls? And should the discussion, you know where I'm going with this, should the discussion be more not about preventing falls, but preventing injury from falls? And at the community where I used to be and other places, there was talk about having, you know, fall classes where we're going to teach you how to fall and not break a hip.
So, also important.
So
also
where do you fall on this, Marie? Since we can have a more sort of philosophical show. Can they be prevented? What's the goal? Preventing it in general, injury?
Can the goal be both?
Sure. Chocolate, vanilla, strawberry. Is
yeah.
I like to say.
We'll say all of the above, because absolutely there are so many falls that can be prevented. I mean, that is the bread and butter of what I do on a daily basis here. Is just, you know, what can we do to really mitigate those risks? My role is all about reducing those risks, because if I even reduce one risk factor, if I move, you know, one trip hazard, if I add one handhold, how many falls am I preventing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just by adding a very secure handhold so somebody's not holding on to a toilet paper holder that is going to give way when they least expect it to.
That's how a friend of mine's family member, it wasn't the toilet paper holder. I think it was the shower curtain.
Absolutely. Oh, yes.
And
it happens.
Had a very bad break.
That's a false sense of security.
Yeah, because they thought, well, I'll just, you know, the towel rack, if it's not. Now, some towel racks can be made secure, but
by and large, no, but yeah.
Exactly. It was, they were either holding onto the towel rack or the shower curtain and just had a really bad
collapse.
Yeah, because if we can make our homes, you know, secure enough in a way that when you are reaching for something to hold on to, it's going to hold itself and it's going to hold you and it's going to prevent you from going down, it's going to prevent you from getting injured. Mm-hmm. That is a fall prevented right there. That could be 20 falls prevented right there. We have no way of knowing. We have no way of measuring.
I know it's hard to measure what doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I come from the public health world, so that's always hard when public health is done well, you don't know it because you don't,
right?
Because you've prevented outbreaks, and then we know when things happen, and we have pandemics and outbreaks. But it's hard to count the misses. The thing that we processed over the last few days is why this fall happened with my family member, and it was in a hospital. It was walking down, I know, Alicia didn't know, it was walking down a hallway to visit a friend, and it was like the nonstick floors. So the floors, rather than being glidey-glide, you know, like just normal, they, I think, had an extra nonstick because they were trying to be safer. And then these shoes with rubber bottoms, it wasn't the ones you were, it wasn't the plastic bottoms, but these were actually shoes that you would, like, a kind of a sketchery, like, like, the rubber, like,
in general, a good shoe.
So just walking on a non, and then, but was carrying a heavy bag, and then they're just, and then just, and then just trip, just.
Well, probably the combination of that non-skid floor plus the super grippy shoe, and
picking up your feet.
And I was going to ask, how well does this person pick up their feet?
It was probably a little, you know, shuffly.
Probably with a heavy bag too, if they were feeling tired, if they were feeling a little stressed from the reason they were going to the hospital in the first place.
All of those things, and it's hard because some things, and we'll talk. You can prevent, like, we should put a handrail up there. It's like last week we were talking about don't run in the rain. You know, like, don't rush, but it's. Right there before the grace of whatever go I. Like, I'm walking on a non-skid floor with that. Like, it just seemed like, oh.
Also, say, and that's the thing, too. You can do everything right. And still, every once in a while, you have these situations that you just can't plan for. It's just the right combination of circumstances, and the person will go down.
And it goes down.
Wow.
All right.
So, yes, we can absolutely prevent so many falls. And also, there's times when you have the perfect storm and you're just trying to reduce injury as best you can.
All right. So, it's a little bit of both.
It is both.
So, I did want to ask you, but I don't want to put you on the spot, but we've done this in the past. If you had any fun facts and sexy statistics you wanted to share with us.
Oh, I was relying on last week for all the stats.
Yeah, last week really was a lot of stats. And but I just wanted to double check. And we're kind of repeating them. What is it? One in four people over age 65
will fall every
One in four over 65. And $800 billion.
Oh, you really?
Per year.
Oh, you wrote them all down. Yeah, it was a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money
for preventable. Because she said that's what got me. I'm like, how do you prevent when you have that incident? How could that have? Could he have had a wagon pulling his?
Yeah, it makes me think.
You know, do we get the wagon?
It's hard, and you're just trying to be. Yeah, it's.
Do we always being the shuffle aware of the feet?
I know, and this person's already meeting with a PT to help with balance and walking. But yeah, it's hard. Well, Alicia, I'm also impressed that you could pull up. I realize I take notes in independent pieces of paper. You have a notebook that you could just go back to the last show. You're our archivist. You're not just our Ed McMahon. No. You're our historian, our archivist. Any other stats you took from last week?
That's awesome. Go ahead.
All right. I am, and listeners, I'm sorry. I'm extra chatty today, and I'm here with my good friend. So we're going to be extra chatty. So, Marie, now we're going to go into the meat and potatoes, the bread and butter of what you knew you were going to be talking about. One of the great things that is offered here through the Department on Aging is a home safety assessment. And this is where I'm just going to be quiet. Tell us all about this process, and then I really want you to tell us all about this process.
Absolutely.
We're going room by room, friends.
Yeah. So, home safety assessment, I have folks reach out to me if, maybe they have already had a fall, maybe they're worried about falling. Maybe they're having no health issues whatsoever and they're just planning ahead for aging in place. I have folks who are maybe planning to come home from rehab for some other related reason and they want to make sure the home is ready and safe for them. It runs the gamut in terms of why I go out to somebody's home. And so, those home safety evaluations, I always plan for like 1.5 to 2 hours for me to actually be in the home with the family.
I could see that.
There have been times we've gone longer too, just based on what do we need to talk about? What do we need to dive into? What's actually going on in this situation?
Okay.
Because the first 30 to 45 minutes of that is me just getting to know the person. Like, what's going on with you? What's going on with your family?
Why am I here and what's going on with you? Why am I here and why are you here? What's happening?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And
what are their goals?
Mm-hmm. Why, what is of concern to you? What pain are you living with? What challenges are you living with? How is your vision? How is your hearing? How is your body working for you right now? Do you have any like specific medications that are causing challenges for you? Not that I'm the one to dive into that, but I can make a referral.
Sure.
You know, have you had any falls? What did they look like? Where have they been? Was it a situation where it was just a one-off tripping over a rock while you're walking the dog? Or is it a repetitive thing every time you're trying to get from the bedroom to the bathroom in the middle of the night? Because those are very different situations.
Absolutely. I would think it would also be interesting, I'm really kind of going down this mental thing, about who motivated your visit. Because one of the things that if they ask for you to come and they're motivated, interesting, versus somebody else suggesting you come.
Absolutely.
Because what I have seen from people themselves and seen from professionals is that you could come in and spend 2 hours and give them all kinds of suggestions, then go, that's nice, and not put in any of them. So if
absolutely.
Are they motivated to?
And that's why, like, even if like a family member is the first person to reach out, you know, one, I always make sure I have consent before I go in a person's home, by and large, always. But two, if the person living in the home isn't on board, there's very...
What are you doing? You're just
there's
wasting.
Very little... I mean, yes, I will still go out. Yes, I will do everything. I, like, pull out every tool in my box to help them understand, like, how we can make things safer. And I always do my best, too, to present ideas or suggestions that feel attainable, that feel realistic, that, you know, really hone in on what they are telling me they are feeling about their situation.
I have all of the... And we'll get into, like, the specifics, but I'm thinking about all the reservations or things that people would have, like, oh, okay, I'd do that, but that would cost a lot of money. Like, well, I was with someone and their toilet was too low, and the feeling was, well, let's get a higher toilet. And then it became, well, if we're going to change this toilet, we should change the two other bathrooms.
Right, exactly.
And then if we're going to do that, well, then we, you know, so this... And even that, but this $100 fix or $200 fix just became a $20,000 fix, and then they're like, forget it, I can't.
Right.
Or I need all new lighting. It's like, no, nightlight. So do you help kind of make it
break it down.
Yeah.
So that it's doable.
Well, yeah. And
or
that's,
you literally take it out of your car, like, and here's the nightlight. Let's put it in right now.
I have been known to do similar.
That's what I love.
Well,
because,
I mean,
it just, and that's what that initial conversation helps me understand. You know, I don't necessarily ask what's your budget, but, you know, just based on our conversation, I get the sense, you know, is this, you know, what is affordable? What is doable? What is manageable? Is this, you know, small edits they can make themselves? Or is this, you know, calling a family member? Is this calling the big, like, our Handy Helpers program? Is this a referral to?
Or is it so big that you call me and say, Heather, help them find another place?
Exactly. Or, and that's one of the questions, too. Is our goal to stay here long term, forever, as long as we can? Or is our goal to stay here for the next 2 to 5 years and then transition somewhere else? Because again, that makes a difference
really
in terms
does.
Of what we recommend.
So I could see why you would spend that first 30 to 45 minutes just understanding the context of everyone. So I would assume that your assessment starts from the moment you walk out of your car.
Absolutely.
I'm like, start, well, tell me, you can tell me more of the process.
Well,
but
honestly,
I'm already
the moment I'm driving up to their house, because one of the things, and just a home I saw last week, they didn't have any numbers on the house or on the mailbox. So, like, GPS was telling me where it was.
But EMS can't get there.
Exactly. That's if I can't find it, again, EMS is phenomenal at knowing.
Never even thought
but,
about
that. But, you know, those seconds can make a difference.
That's right. 10 seconds, if they go past it, they got to turn that big thing around.
Or not even EMS, your pizza delivery. They're going GPS. Oh my gosh, I was thinking I was entering just by thinking getting out of the car, but just
the moment I come within view of their house, I'm starting my assessment.
And also, what's their neighborhood like? Do they have sidewalks? Do they have safe places?
How close is the neighbor if they need help?
Okay. All right. So then continue on. I'm not going to talk anymore. Who are we kidding? All right. So go on with the process.
Yeah. So, you know, those first, you know, few minutes getting to know each other, understand goals, understand, you know, like you said, their buy-in, how how invested are they in this process? And then we really go, like you said, room by room. I normally start with whatever room we're sitting in at that moment in time. Tends to be, you know, in a living room, around a kitchen table, something like that. And really, you know, just, you know, checking in with them about what are they noticing about this space, talking about what I'm noticing about this space.
Oh, I'm terrible about that, is asking questions of what did they see first and getting it. I'm just too pushy and whatever. Like, I'm doing it now.
Well, it's with buy-in.
You ask them and say, so what are you seeing might be more helpful, or how do you put that sentence?
Well, I'm just... I think I honestly ask, what do you notice? Or what, you know, are there any challenges you're having in this space?
Is it the rug that's near the floor? Or is it the separation of the threshold where you trip going into the
carpet? Because if we can start with something that they are already feeling unsettled about or that they want to address, then again, that helps with that buy-in. And if I can present them with a potential solution that feels good about something they're already having a challenge with, then that gives me a little bit more... authority is not the right word.
What comfort? But, you get a comfort with them.
Like, they're like, oh, maybe she does know what she's talking about.
Right. Yeah. That's true. Oh, that's right. It's an interesting little test. Like, I know that. Will she notice it? What else would be interesting, and when I was in someone's house the other day, and there just was trip rugs everywhere. I mean, rugs everywhere that I'm calling trip rugs. And they were aware of it. There, and I was like, oh, they're, I said, oh, a PT is going to come and do an assessment. And she was like, yeah, they're going to comment on all the rugs. And then the next thing was clear that she wasn't going to do anything about it. So there's also your, what do they notice, and also
what they're not going to do about it.
Yeah.
And that's, and in the, that's one of the big lessons I had to learn working in the community setting, is that I can suggest and recommend and encourage all day, every day, but in the end, it's their home, it's their choice. Yes. So I never actually change anything within the home, you know, unless they actually ask me, do you mind moving that while you're here, because I can't reach it. But yeah, because it's their home. So yeah, I will be the most encouraging, supportive, help them come around to the issue and figure out it is a good idea. But in the end, it's their home and their choice.
So then you say, so after you do, what do you notice? And then when do you then start saying, well, here's what I notice? And then do you go, this and this and this and this and this, like, let's talk about, like, do you have a process where you're like, let's talk about coming into your house? Like, do you do it very methodically? Like, you gave me this cute, I don't follow the list anymore. Listeners,
because everything's unique and different. Yeah.
Every home's a little different. Right. Every conversation's a little bit different.
And like if you came in, like you were saying, do you put the key right here? Do you have a deadbolt lock that you lock? You know, do you turn on an alarm?
I mean, so you watch them in their process.
Yeah.
And I do have this, and thank you, Marie. You brought a handy dandy checklist. And folks, if you go to our website, was it orangecountync.gov. /aging. Last week's guest, we have a bunch of links, and I actually think this is one of the things we linked to, the ARP Home Fit Guide.
Oh, that'd be great.
So all the I'll double check.
The ARP Home Fit Guide that she mentioned.
Yeah, so that's on the website now, because I am looking at, this Marie brought a checklist. So you might go into it in different order, but I'm assuming you go back to this checklist and make
sure. Yeah, it's kind of like, it serves as my reference point. Like, did I hit on most of these things during the point of my visit? You know, just again, making sure I'm covering my bases. I'm not forgetting anything. But mind you, I've been doing this for a few years now.
Right. So you might hit most of the time, the middle, and just get around.
I kind of skid around based on where the conversation is taking us.
But
one of the big things as I'm going through these rooms too is, like you said, watching people in their process, watching how they go about things. Because the number of times I'll ask somebody, it especially comes up in the bathrooms. I spend so much time in bathrooms with folks. You wouldn't even believe it.
No, I believe it.
But I'll ask them if they, you know, if they can show me how do you get in and out of the bathtub. You know, because verbally they'll say, oh, it's fine, I've got this.
Yeah.
And then they go and show me, and I'm like, well, did you notice that you were holding on to the shower curtain, for example, as you're getting out? And they're like, oh, I guess I was. That's probably not very good, is it?
Because they just don't.
It's autopilot. That's how they're going about, and their body has, you know, made these accommodations, you know, because they need maybe a little touch point as they're going in without recognizing.
And a touch point is very different than I'm putting my full body weight
absolutely
on it. And I was thinking about, and I want to go back into the bathroom, but I also like your idea of watching people use their space. I was in this property the other day, and there was furniture everywhere, and there was just a lot of furniture. But I realized, if done well, that furniture could be holding on spaces, you know, like you're walking along
furniture
the couch.
Walking. Yeah.
You know, furniture walking. So certain things, okay. Certain things you probably go, eek.
Like holding on to the back of the couch as you walk down.
Okay.
Behind it. Like, I'm not so worried about that. It would take a lot of force for that couch to.
Yes.
I'm so sorry. My throat's going out on
Yeah,
me.
No.
It would take a lot of force.
Here, have a drink. I'll keep chatting.
But it'd take a lot of force for that couch to fall over, whereas, you know, maybe a really tall bookshelf that's top heavy, that is more likely to potentially.
I saw more of like a curio cabinet that had like pictures of family on it and some other stuff. That's and exciting. It was glass, and I thought, don't hold on to that.
Right.
That scares right. me it, a little
it,
bit.
It rocks.
Yes.
Yeah, wobbly, so, rocking things that aren't secured in any way. They're more likely to cause more harm mm-hmm. in a fall than they are benefit. Yeah.
You mentioned a lot of furniture. Were there a lot of low tables? You know, the
yes.
a lot of low tables.
Yeah, and that becomes an issue. I don't have great vision because I have these trifocal progressive, and so I don't have great, what is it, what's this vision right here, what is this called, it's peripheral vision, not great, but yeah, so low tables I bang into all mm-hmm. the time. So but does it help them, you know? Again, I love the idea that you're seeing, is it working for them and will it continue to work? I want us to get back into the bathroom, right. though.
Yeah, and it's such a balance. Because, you know, if somebody's been living in a home for 40, 50 years, this is how they go about things. I don't take changes lightly because they Change is not easy. And sometimes changing things, you know, if you go to reach for a handhold that's suddenly not there at all anymore, that can cause a whole host of different kinds of problems.
Oh, yes, because they're trying to be careful and not fall, but because they're doing something different.
It's gone. The support is gone.
Yeah, like if they are using a low table as a hand support as they're walking around the corner and suddenly the low table isn't there anymore, but they go to reach for it and they're already off balance, mm-hmm. that causes a different problem.
Oh.
So everything has to be done in a balance.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
What about the rollers that we're using?
The walkers.
Yeah. I was going to say, perspective, if somebody is doing a lot of furniture walking, that probably means it's time for a mobility device of some sort. Hmm.
But how do you get around the furniture that you saw in the house?
Ask the expert.
How do you get around that?
It depends on the spacing. In a perfect world, we would have enough mobility space for the walker, or the canes can be really nice in smaller spaces. It just depends on this person's balance. It depends on their needs. Mm-hmm. It also depends on what they're willing to use.
Mm-hmm.
The right tool is the tool the person will actually use.
Beautifully
from my
said.
Perspective.
And also, like, there was a woman who used a wheelchair in her house and mm-hmm. then a crutch when she, and it's because in her house, because it was flat, there wasn't rug, so mm-hmm. it could roll around easier.
Yes.
But in other environments, so she would use different, and she had an issue since she was a young girl.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
she was used to different devices. Mm-hmm. And so, funny, going back to the bathroom mm-hmm. and speaking, I saw, whenever I look at bathrooms, I think about accessibility in terms of how big is the door frame.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Because thinking people will go in front. What I saw the other day in a room that the person has been in for, a house that they've been in for a really long time, so it was built a long time ago, so the door frames
are tiny.
They shimmied in on the side. Mm-hmm. It's like they turned on the side with the walker, and I never would have thought that, and went in, you know, sideways.
Hmm. Yes, which works with those folding aluminum walkers.
That's exactly what it was. It was a folding aluminum walker.
It works with that style. I will give y'all a couple of my favorite hints to be able to make these doorways a little bit more accessible. Does it work at all houses?
A chainsaw? What is it? I was like,
so one of the greatest inventions I've ever seen is called offset hinges or expandable hinges. And I can send y'all a video of this if you want to. But there, you know, when you open a door, you normally have like the width of the door itself, mm-hmm. that like that 1.5 to 2 inches that takes up the space of the doorway.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what these hinges do is they take that 1.5 inches, instead of putting it in the doorway, they put it out from
they
the doorway.
Somebody was telling me that the other day, and we had an issue here in the studio. I had to measure to see whether someone could come in. And so, okay, that's so cool.
And when you're talking about a door frame, 2 inches can make all the difference in the world.
Yeah, it really
can. And it's just swapping out the hinges. You can't normally buy them in store,
but you can order them
Amazon, Lowe's, Home Depot, mm-hmm. all kinds of different hardware stores have them available online. Every finish you could want. But yeah, offset or expandable hinges depends on the store, how they label them.
My husband went through a phase where he took doors off of so many things. Now, mm-hmm. they still stayed on the bathroom except for one he made a sliding door, mm-hmm. like that barn door.
Which is awesome. Yep.
So that way it wasn't opening out. But like all closet doors have been removed from our house. It was like curtains or something because...
Which is also a great option.
So then there wasn't closets either taking up space or the doors opening up into the room. And so he was a big take doors off that are unnecessary.
Which honestly, and that's
or
another...
pocket doors
like,
if you're...
As I get to know people, like, are you the only person living in this house?
Mm-hmm.
Do we need the privacy of the door? Or, you know, are you a person who maybe doesn't
Do we not even need the door?
Yeah, maybe you're just, it's a person who doesn't necessarily feel they need to have that door on there, because taking it off, again, can save you so much space.
Interesting. Who would think to take, right, very interesting.
All right, so what are your other things? We're staying in the bathroom, because we'll go.
Getting through the door. So specifically for those folding aluminum walkers, when they initially come to you, those, you know, they've got the two wheels on the front, normally like tennis balls, gliders, or something on the back.
Yes.
Normally those wheels are on the outside of the walker.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that takes off about an inch on either side.
It does.
So what you can do is you can pop those wheels off, switch them to the other side and push them back on again, and then the wheels are on the inside.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Now, that's interesting.
Because sometimes if they're the real older kind, they don't have any wheels at all. But this is, they
Oh, and that's a different level of support. The, like, four-legged, zero-wheels walker, that is about the highest level of support you can get in a walker.
And that's what the person had. But
okay,
I know
about wheels, that works too.
Yes, but,
yeah. But
the wheels, you could just pop them off. And then I have seen that you take off the stuff with the tennis balls and then the little glidery thingies.
Yep. But those wheels, like I said, they add about an inch on either side. So if you can bring that inch in, again, that might be just enough to get through that doorway without having to shuffle sideways.
Well, and right there, because someone would say, well, you know, we'd have to, there's nothing we can do. We're going to have to bust out the door frame. It's going to be, you know, hundreds, thousands of dollars. And you're like, no, let's just move the wheels. Done.
And
that's the kind of stuff
that is the joy of my job. When I give these
simple,
so simple, but as soon as you hear it, you're like, that gives us the 2 inches we need right there. That did it. That's the magic. So if you happen to be in the situation where you can flip, do the wheels on the walker and do the expandable hinges, I just gained you, 3 inches?
Right. Yeah, you really did. That's what I was looking at. Okay, so other big things, because I realized, oh gosh, we've got so many rooms to go through in a house. How many, what are the other big things that you see in the bathroom or as you're going through other rooms that you're like, this is what people are always looking at?
We touched on handholds a little bit, but handholds in the bathroom are critical. I always check to see, you know, what handholds is a person currently using. Mm-hmm. Are we holding on to the toilet paper holder? Are we holding on to doorknobs? Are we holding on to cabinet handles? Mm-hmm. Are we touching the washcloth rack or the shower curtain or the shower rod or the glass sliding doors?
How close is the commode to holding on anything?
Yeah. And that too. So what are we currently holding on to, and what are safe alternatives? Mm-hmm. What can we do? And a lot of times that is installing a grab bar in the shower. Mm-hmm. Or it might be...
Or right by the commode. That's what I had a family member do. And they literally sat down and the contractor was there, the fix-it guy. And she just put out and said, I want it there. And that's exactly where they put it. And it was like, bing, bang, really quick. So, and then it was so helpful.
What about the heights on these commodes that they're
putting that's a big fight in my family.
That's...
Everyone in my family, my extended family, has fights over the height of the toilet. And some, because we're short people, have feelings about where it should be. Some, because it's tall people. Some knee issues. I'm not seeing any consistency.
And again, it depends on the person.
Yes.
Does it help your family situation?
Mm-mm.
But it always depends on the person. Because if I'm working with somebody who is like 4'10", 5 foot, something like that,
that
extra height toilet is not going to do any good at all. In fact, it's dangerous.
That's the big fight, is if it's too high.
Your feet angle.
And then you kind of go numb while you go to the bathroom. Yeah, that's a big issue.
But if it's too low.
But then if it's too low, it hurts your knees and your thighs.
And then you struggle. Like, I always ask people to sit down on the toilet for me. If they have that plop, that means it's too low.
Mm-hmm.
If they struggle to stand back up again, it's too low.
Yeah.
And so in those situations, I've had
that plop. And I'm short, right? I'm not even 5 feet. And so it's like, if it's low for me and I'm falling down, I hadn't heard the term plop, but I like that. That's funny. And then if you struggle to get up. And I've seen that too.
Which is why
then you do want the higher ones, because if you struggle to, it depends on how high, but then you don't have to get up as far.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Yeah. If you've got hip or knee injuries or just some weakness in general, then that extra height, it's just doing part of the work for you. If you don't have to fight against gravity
for as long. Because there's like four different, when you go now, the standard is different
now
that it was.
Yes. I haven't shopped for,
I was really annoyed.
I had
12,
handicapped
15,
put
17.
In.
Mm-hmm.
12? When I built,
there's 12-inch toilets?
Yes.
Did I just say that wrong? Is that too low?
That sounds horribly low.
It seemed horribly low to me. I don't know.
I think the standard's about 15. They have changed, and it's sad, because 20 years ago, what was considered a handicap is now low.
Yes. That's it. And I was like, wait, what? This seems
it's gone. Yeah, because my mom's
which
taller.
Again doesn't work for folks in the 5 foot range.
Yes, which is what we are. Okay.
So they well, moved that handbar. So now we go to handbar, right?
Yeah. You know, handbars, whether that's attached to the wall, whether that's attached to the toilet, whether it's attached to a riser that's attached to the toilet.
What about the risers?
The right kind of riser can be an amazing tool.
Oh, you mean like
tool.
The toilet risers?
Mm-hmm.
I have mixed feelings about them.
Do they have handles on them?
Yes,
they
can, I like yes. those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a riser style I love, and then there's some riser styles I don't like. And
yeah, those are the ones I don't love, because then also, if depending on how it is, then it's really dirty and messy. Like, it's a weird thing. Like, I like it when it helps your hand rise about. Yeah, we can...
Yeah, so there are risers out there that just plop onto the toilet, but they don't have any attachment at all. So yes. They're just kind of free sitting, and those I will actively remove from like.
Oh, good. We've had those in
are
my
they,
world.
Why
yes.
do you remove them?
Because they, there's no guarantee they're going to stay in place.
So they're
and so
they're
if
not
a person were to get
they
off
wobble,
balance,
they wobble. Oh, they wobble.
They and can, they get messy, and it just. Okay.
Well, honestly, all risers get a little bit messy
That's
though. That's the tricky thing about it.
Yeah.
I will say that is a con to getting a riser as opposed to just a more elevated toilet is the cleaning aspect of it.
Yes.
Just because there is that little extra crevice around the bottom that's harder to get to.
I'm OCD. That doesn't work for me.
Yeah, it's not going to work for you.
Yeah. So pros and cons. And again, that's why I get to know the person.
Yeah. And
like
see
what can we balance
And also,
here?
Is this a temporary thing? So someone, you know, having a, who had surgery and is doing some quick rehab.
Yep.
So that's also, I would think, versus, no, this is a change that's going to be permanent. And so then we're going to want to, you know, bust through walls or you know, I would think that would also be part of the assessment.
Yeah.
Other big things.
I will say my favorite riser, those are the one that bolts on. I don't know if you've seen those.
I think so.
Yeah. So
not temporary.
Not, well, I mean, I can take it off again in 5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you turn it on or something. Yeah, I mean.
But you take the toilet seat off, you put the riser on, you put the toilet seat back on top, and you got a giant long bolt that goes through the entire back of the thing.
It's called a bolt?
Bolt on toilet riser. I love that.
It's a bolt
on. From the safety side of things, that's my favorite kind. Because once you put them on, they don't move.
Yeah.
Right. Does it have the handles?
They can. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's fun. Other fun things in the bathroom and
lighting
always. We talked about that a lot last week.
I did change my lighting to daylight lighting. It's like the light that when they're working on the freeways at night.
Oh, so
that light.
Okay. All I know is
as I say, we want bright, but we don't do too much glare either.
Well,
it's finding the balance there.
Yeah, it's there, but it's bright.
Okay.
Okay, you're not liking that.
You're not liking it. It sounds like
so. And we talked about lighting. And
he likes it because he can see.
Okay.
Well, we talked last week about lighting throughout the house, but also like. Strategic lighting, maybe just some night lights that's lighting up your path from the bed to the bathroom.
Motion.
Yeah. I love motion activated. I love night lights. I love like task lighting too. So even like if you've got like a general room light on, I'm thinking about in the kitchen specifically, how often is your kitchen light behind your head?
Yes.
While you're working on something in front of you. And if you're doing chopping and knife work, that's no good. You need to have that, like that under cabinet task lighting is critical just for safety.
I have task lighting by my computer. That's really
counter.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about
this. Yeah, it helps.
My husband uses it every day. It's the one now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just so you can see what you're doing because your own body casts a shadow otherwise. So paying attention to where the lighting is and where the shadows are falling while you're trying to do whatever task you're working on.
Super helpful. So then bedroom area, hallway, what are the things that are the biggies there?
Bed height is a big one.
You're hitting me low because I had a rice bed that was really high and I loved it.
Yes, and you and I are a foot different in height.
I had to bring it down to height.
Yeah.
I didn't realize
because
that.
Because if you're like having a jump or launch, I've seen some pretty spectacular
jumps
to get into bed.
I saw that.
I've seen, and I've had family members, and especially if they go to a hotel or something, and they've had to get a step stool in order to get onto it. So
that's interesting. But
all right, so bed height, that's a big one. And again, listeners, everything we're going over is in the ARP Home Fit Guide. There's lots of other, you know, so you can go through this yourself. So that's really fun. So bed height.
Stairs, but that's not.
What about the stairs?
Next to the bed.
Oh, I've seen that for dogs actually. For little when people, I have friends, but they want their little dogs to be able to get onto the bed, and they put the little stairs. Or for little kids.
Not good.
Okay.
You got a lot of balance there, and
yeah, I was gonna say if the bed's too high, a couple of options.
Over the age of three.
My preferred option, but it's budget dependent, is you can actually get a box spring that is half height. Oh. So they call it a low profile box spring. Mm-hmm. And so I think they've made them because, you know, our mattresses are getting more pillow toppy, right, more fluffy, right, higher and higher.
They're getting so high. I was touring a community the other day and they had, and right, I'm 5 feet, and that the bed didn't even start to like 4 feet. I was like, what is happening? There's no way I can get onto this bed.
Yeah, okay, so low profile box spring. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. also keeping in mind that the fluffier and cushier a mattress is, the harder it's going to be
to get
to move on it, right, to get off.
My mother
and
got
on
one
it
of those, came in a box.
Yeah, Emma. Yeah.
I have mixed feelings.
It just curves in on you.
She couldn't get out.
Yeah.
I just have that after like 10 years when the sink sinks in.
Yeah. And so again, that's a budget thing. Mm-hmm. But just knowing that expensive. Those slightly firmer mattresses mm-hmm. are going to be easier safety-wise.
Oh.
Rock hard.
Well, floor. This will sound inappropriate. You can sleep with my husband. That sounds so inappropriate.
Floor. We like floor.
See, I shouldn't have said that on the air. Yeah, he likes really firm.
That's okay.
I like really soft.
I'll be on the edge.
That was funny.
But you like all it? Right. I do, and that makes sense.
It makes it easier. Mm-hmm. You can also give yourself what's called a bed cane. So instead of a full bed rail,
I had that.
There are those these little bitty handles that you can put on the edge of the bed.
Because
I got
of
that
your
for
height?
My mom. No, oh. for my mom. Oh. I got basically I buy anything that Walgreens and CVS is selling to try to make things.
So and what so do you do with it?
You can slide it under the mattress, so it's really
between
secure.
The mattress and the box spring, and it's a little handle that comes up. It's
so,
like a little
so
L
you,
shape.
So once they're in, do you put it down or do you just keep it up?
You just keep it there. And it's small. It's really petite. It just kind of sits right next to their pillow. So, you know, you sit down next on the edge of the bed next to the bed cane, and then you can just lay down and rotate a bed. There's nothing to move out of the way. It's just an extra handhold for you.
It's called
what? A bed cane.
Yes. The tips. You see, this is why we're doing it. Tips and tricks. Or if you're like me, just hang out in the accessibility aisle or whatever it's called at Walgreens and CVS. I've bought everything that they've had.
I'm going to
just
go there.
Chat with me, Heather. You know where to find me.
Yeah, I should have done that. Well, we had a pandemic. It was a little
crazy.
That thing was a little crazy. So other things, when you were talking about the bedroom, one of the issues that I wanted to bring up was, because I was thinking about some places I've been visiting folks lately, is clutter, the furniture is in an okay place, but the pile of books or the pile of newspaper, or for me, pile of clothes, it's that.
The shoes.
Shoes. Mm-hmm. I trip over shoes. So do you also kind of look at that?
I do, keeping in mind that, you know, every person has varying abilities in terms of how to manage their clutter and their stuff. Mm-hmm. We all have stuff. It's just how we manage our stuff.
I have a lot of stuff.
I have stuff.
Where do you put this stuff, and are you going to trip over said stuff?
Exactly. And so the idea, and I kind of take a risk reduction standpoint when it comes to managing stuff, is do we have clear walking paths? It's not reasonable for me to ask a person to clear off every surface in their house and find a new home for all of their stuff. That's not reasonable.
Not at all.
But can we get from the bedroom door to the bed itself safely? Do we have a clear open path to do that? Can we get from the edge of the bed to the bathroom with a clear open path without any trip? That one especially, because so many falls happen middle of the night when folks are in a hurry trying to get to the bathroom.
Yep.
And if that's the case, what else can we do? Is the bathroom too far away for nighttime? Do we need to use a bedside at night?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say you can't go to the toilet.
A bedside commode to sort of help that with folks, but yes. That's a good point, because I was like, how would you move? Oh, because you'd literally put
a bedside there beside the bed. That doesn't mean that you can't get to the toilet. It just means that we are weighing the pros and cons.
That's a good idea.
And deciding we want to take the risk.
If people really want to be creative and they can, and they or move the bed closer. I mean, there is
absolutely.
Just move the room around.
Well, and that's one of the things we think about, too, is, you know, from maybe like, maybe a person sleeping on the side of the bed and they do have to get up to go to the restroom often. Is the bed oriented in a way that they have a clear shot to that bathroom, or are they walking all
the
way around their elbow to get there?
I had that in our bedroom, and that if we put the bed on one wall, it was like a longer walk to the bathroom, and then now it's, I've got the closest way.
I didn't think that, to move the bed.
Yeah. And again, that's not in everybody's wheelhouse. That's not something everybody wants to do, but for some folks, you know, who are open to that, that's an easy solution to pick.
Love it. All right. So I'm going to start speeding us along because I was so chatty. I've messed us up a little bit in terms of I want you to be able
never
to
never mess up.
This
is live.
We got to keep coming back to the fifth. If we want to have the 5-timer club. Other big issues, because I'm also looking at this list, because we hit lighting, we hit clutter. You know, we haven't hit that much. I don't know if we did. I made a quick comment. Rugs.
Rugs. You will hear a lot of people say no rugs at all. I am not a no rugs person. Yes. I think rugs bring warmth. I think rugs bring sound a sense attenuation. Of hominess.
It does homey.
Oh, yeah, the sound reduction. They collect water. They collect debris if you're coming in from outside.
I just had mine clean. And if you put the right rug down, it hugs the right floor. So they don't trip.
Exactly, because it really does make a difference with the room. You put a rug in it, it does feel homey, it feels warm, it feels put together.
On a wood
together,
floor or these new floors?
Yeah, wood floor, you're like, it actually feels more dangerous, you're going to fall on wood and not. So
it's getting the right rugs, and so making sure that, you know, they're not, you know, they're a little bit lower profile, they don't have too many fibers.
And some of them have the rubber backing that really do keep slipping, you know.
I watch, because I spend a lot of time watching Instagram reels and these silly things, like how some people watch like the little films on Instagram. Whatever they call it. What do the kids call them these days? Like TikToks and Instagram reels.
Instagram reels.
And I saw this cool trick, which I did at home and actually worked. It's when your corners start to peel up, and that's when it becomes the trip hazard.
Right.
Yes. And I saw a thing, and my husband was like, "What are you doing?" But it worked. You take some ice cubes.
Oh.
And you put it over where the corners, if it's just for corners that are popping up. And so you put ice cubes over it, then you put a glass over it so it keeps them in place, and then I had to do something because then we almost tripped over the glass. And then you just give it like 10 hours. And what happens is the ice melts, and so it gives just enough wetness, and then the glass,
the weight of the glass.
So actually, I think I put a book on
top of it.
So I think ice cubes, a glass, and a book, and then the weight, and it just flattened
it worked.
Out. It did work, except for it was a trip hazard for the 24 hours
Okay.
And my husband was like, why is it? But it's not a ton of water, so you're getting a mold. It just was enough. So I saw that trick. All right, going on.
Well, that's
so
fun, though. But yeah, absolutely. Making sure the edges are staying secure. Right. Making sure the corners are staying secure. It's got that non-skid backing under it. I especially watch that when it's like an edge that's in a walking path, like you're going in and out of the space, and watching what those edges do curling
up. We have a rug right at the top of the stairs, and it's not secured, and it's so dangerous. The cats
Why is it
and,
there?
Because it looks pretty, but yeah, I'm gonna address this when I get home. It did. But it does make me nervous if I were to slip. I'd go down the stairs.
And that's, again, pros and cons.
What do you think about the backings that they say put on, like the Velcros and those things that you can stick on there?
I love double-sided rug tape.
Right.
All right, I'm going to do that.
I love that stuff.
Because it does work.
Okay.
And especially like putting it right on those edges so it just keeps the rug where it's supposed to be.
It does work. I've used that. Okay.
Yeah. But I will encourage you, Heather, when you think about that rug at the top of your steps.
Thank you, Heather.
You know, the pros and cons is it what part, like, yes, it's pretty, but what is its function
and
here?
And it's that the cats run on it and then it goes, and so then it gets pushed out of place. And then I'm like, one direction, but when it gets pushed out of a weird thing, I'm like, I'm going to trip and then fall down.
Okay. Hazard.
And if you love the rug, is there a different place it could go?
Right.
Love it.
Can you keep the joy of the rug in your house, but in a less dangerous spot?
That's a good idea.
Considering my family has not had a great track record during this month already, I will go look at it.
Other things
I'm looking at the list. Are there other things that are just, you're always seeing this issue and you're like, let's have the heart-to-heart about... So we talked about clutter, we talked about rugs, we talked about lighting, we talked about heights of things, the heights of beds, handrails. I'm looking at other things. Entrances and exits we didn't really talk about too much.
Yeah, just making sure that, you know, it is a way that you can safely get in and out of, especially like if you think about like an emergency situation, something like that. Can a person safely get out of this home quickly if they need to?
Yes.
Easier said than done sometimes.
With that threshold of step up or step down.
Yeah. And so, yeah, keeping in mind, you know, is like how many steps are there? Are there steps up to a porch and then another step to get into the house? Mm-hmm. What kind of handrails would help? Mm. What kind of ramps might help? Do we need a full ramp? Do we just need a little what's called a threshold ramp right there at the doorway to cover those 1 or 2 inches at the doorway?
And this is where builders, if you're listening, more zero threshold entrances,
please build up
the lawn so people don't have to, right? There's such pretty ways about doing walkways
right into your
home. And we have one as opposed to having to do a ramp, because then it just, because adding a ramp, super helpful, but takes away the aesthetics of a house.
Exactly.
People don't like it, adds stigma.
But if you can just build the zero threshold from the beginning.
Right.
I know. And then it's just pretty. And then it's so convenient for strollers and for bringing in packages.
Well, it's that idea of universal design.
Universal design. And I've been looking at a lot of places today, including the zero entrance showers.
Mm-hmm.
those kinds. So yes,
because it's helpful across the board, not just because you've got a disability, not just because you've got a wheelchair. It's just useful across
the board. Right, that little step in the shower, even
those just couple of inches, they can make such a big difference for folks, and that's hard.
And if you can't lift over it, so in our 2 minutes left, we talked just a tiny bit about durable medical equipment and mobility devices. Anything you want to, and then we'll definitely have you back. Anything else that you want to do a shout out about? You know, accepting, I want to have a whole psychological, accepting that these devices are there to help you and let go of the stigma. I want everyone in the whole world to walk with a cane and a mobility device so then it doesn't make others feel bad when they're doing it.
Yeah, and so I guess my way of thinking about this is remembering that these tools, these devices, are a means to an end. Normally, your goal is to not walk, like, I mean, your goal, I mean, depending on your life situation, normally your goal is to be, for example, at the bathroom. Your goal is not necessarily the walk from the bedroom to the bathroom. And so if you need to use a tool to achieve, like, to help with the means to get to the end, because the end is the most important thing to you. And maybe going to the bathroom is not the best example.
Well, and
in the world,
I know, but I was also thinking, and the end that I like to look at is I want to be with my friends. I want to be able to go to a restaurant and hang out with folks and not, I want to be able to safely get from, and that's what I was doing with some family members. Don't come and join us and let's help you get there safely so that way you're not isolating at home.
Yeah, it just makes me think of a conversation I had probably several months ago now with a community member. Is she wanted to spend time with her grandchildren at a local park, and she knew that, like, that was going to be a lot of walking, a lot of out there, a lot of going. And, you know, she, I don't remember if she decided to use a rollator or a transport wheelchair that day, but the goal was to spend family quality time with her grandkids at the park.
That's
that was the goal.
The end.
That's the end.
I use my mom's transport wheelchair today. My mom's passed away, but I was meeting with a woman in the community. I know walking's really difficult. I knew we were going to be doing a walking tour, and I said, can I bring you, I want you to be able to really experience the community and not be exhausted. I want the husband not to be worried about falling. And they're like, that'd be wonderful. And now they're going to go get one because they're like, this was great. And they're, I mean,
and then it'll get them out.
I don't
want
to say, but they're only like $100, and it was so, and I don't want to be pithy about that because $100 is a lot of
it
money.
Is, but you can find surfaces that will help you with that.
It was, great. Do a shout out for that.
I was going to say, I mean, if you're an Orange County resident.
We're on the radio, so they don't see when you wave your hand.
I know, I realized that. I just stuck my hand up, y'all. I was like, hey, that's me.
That'd be,
all right, so that's a good thing to end on. So yeah,
but
tell us about
if you're an Orange County resident and you're at least age 55 or caring for somebody at least age 55, we have a whole equipment donation and loan program. So yes, we do have transport wheelchairs available. We have rollators available.
And bed cane. I think I'll look into
a bed cane.
We have
bed canes available. So keep in mind, everything is donation based, so we can't ever guarantee that we'll have the exact thing you need at the exact moment in time. But we have had so many generous donations lately. So as of right now, I'm going to go ahead and blanket say we probably have what you're looking for.
Oh wow, that's great!
Our storage unit is full to the brim, which is a wonderful problem to have.
And this is a great last thing. How do they connect with you and with that?
Call our aging helpline for that.
Now you can give that number.
919-968. I just blanked.
Well, then you can just call the
2087.
2087,
I think. Does that sound right?
It kind of does, but or just call the main number 919-968-2070. Or it is really funny. We're all looking because I have it in my contact. I should do aging. Yeah, so the number is 919 for the aging helpline, 919-968-2087.
Yes. So if you need to borrow a piece of equipment, and mind you, we don't have a due date. So short term, long term, whatever you need.
Helpful.
Just give our helpline a call.
And Alicia, I realize we had magnets or stickers up somewhere. We have to put them
again.
All right. We have gone late. This was so wonderful. I was looking forward to having Marie Dagger back here from the Orange County Department on Aging. Really, folks, don't hesitate to reach out to Marie, to reach out to Aging Transitions, the Orange County Department on Aging. If you are not here locally, make sure to look on our website because you will see all the things we've talked about today. There's already links on it from last week's show, which is what was about fall prevention. We should put numbers on it.
I know. 55.
I know, right? Alicia, thank you. Marie, thank you. WCOM, thank you so much for hosting our great Aging Well Together show, or we think it's great. Thank you, Orange County Department on Aging.
It is.
And listeners, please don't fall. Stay upright.
Please,
thank you so much, and we'll be with you again next week.